Congressman, thank you so much for taking a moment of your time during this busy season to talk to me.
Well, it's my pleasure. It is a busy season, but this is all about connecting and sharing your message. So thank you for the opportunity.
Election Day is a few short days away. I'm sure you, along with the rest of America, is looking forward to having that day behind us. you've been a representative of this district for a very long time. Your challenger is saying that we need new leadership. Can you tell our listeners about why you think you should remain in this position? What are the advantages for the Capital Region?
Well, certainly, as one who speaks for the Capital Region, our region is oftentimes cited as one of the five most productive regions in the country for green collar, clean energy, high tech job growth. And I think that building upon that track record, you know, having worked in the state assembly on developing the strength of technology and innovation jobs in our economy allows me to go to Washington and now continue that fight. I think it's about having committee assignments that can really underpin that strength, serving on energy and commerce and now chairing the subcommittee on environment and climate change, which produces jobs of the technical variety and research variety. Making certain that through my assignment on science, space, and technology, we're advancing the latest in workforce development and, again, research investments that need to be made. And then also through the Natural Resources Subcommittee, where we're working on a similar agenda for climate change. So, look, my track record is one that I would challenge anyone to compare with any other member of the House. 28 measures, 28 bills introduced during this session, 25 of which are bipartisan, 17 of which have already passed the House. And that's dealing with strengthening our economy, our local economy, because it focuses on the strengths of our region. And I've always worked on committee assignments that acknowledges the strength or the need for the 20th Congressional District, the Kraft Capital Region of New York, and also that might tailor itself to my background and skill set. And so I think they're a hand and glove fit that have a mutual strengthener for the region that I represent.
Can you talk to me about the Green New Deal? You're a supporter of the Green New Deal. Your opponent is a critic of it. Can you tell our listeners what it is and why you support it?
Well, most of the principles in the package I embrace, but it's a laundry list of goals. And those that are connected to the science portion and climate agenda are a challenge for me to then carry into committee assignment, subcommittee assignment, whatever it may be. And therein lies the difficult measure to take these series of goals and principles and put them into, wordsmith them into a legislative bill. And that is not easy. So we have incorporated a lot of the thinking into the challenges that are embraced in the Green New Deal. The portions that I am most connected with are investing in renewables, investing in carbon reduction in our atmosphere, and producing jobs and developing the skill sets for those jobs. Those are the principles that we put into our legislation. And I think it's important to be able to meet that challenge. You know, compared to those who don't embrace science, my opponent has very much connected herself in the platform of the president, who is a science denier and a climate denier. He rejects science. We've seen it with the COVID pandemic experience. We've seen it with climate change. We've seen him roll back CAFE standards for the transportation sector for clean air and roll back clean water, clean air provisions in the existing law. So, you know, there's an obvious rejection of science. Mine is based on respecting science, embracing science, and making it work to produce jobs and enhance quality of life.
You've been very critical of the Trump administration's dealings around the pandemic. Can you talk about what you see for the future?
Well, let me first talk about what has happened or not happened. It's a tragedy that there was no strategic plan developed. And it all begins with testing, tracing, and treatment and affordability of treatment. We have embraced that in our HEROES Act, which was passed back in May. There are those who believe that opening up the economy will resolve everything. Well, we can only strengthen the economy and bring it forth in its robust fashion when we get to the other side of the COVID-19 challenge. And what we need to do, I think, is further underpin businesses. We have a portion in the HEROES Act that addresses a fund established for restaurants because they paid an extreme price for employee loss in since the beginning of the pandemic in late winter, early spring. We have dollars set aside for testing and tracing and treatment. We have hospitals that need to be underpinned. There again, investments made through the HEROES Act. We have put together a plan where one-third of the package, about $1 trillion, goes toward municipal relief. Our state capitals are all, in a bipartisan fashion, demanding action, but so are municipalities, our mayors, our county execs, our village leaders. They're all asking for relief. The response from the United States Senate, from the Republican leadership, and from the president has not been welcoming. They have indicated that you should file for bankruptcy. Well, that is not an answer. That's not a solution, because we know that the revenue creep is not about mismanagement or misappropriation. The revenue loss here is precipitous, and it's due to conditions beyond their control. This COVID experience has bled the revenues from these treasuries. And the result is that either you lose essential services or have them greatly diminished, and then in corresponding fashion, add to unemployment rolls as you lay off or discontinue service with certain employees. That's unacceptable. We need to do better than that. We're talking about essential workers, public safety people, our police, our firefighters, our teachers, our sanitation workers, our water treatment facility operators. These are essential services. And we need to keep our economy running as we meet the demands of the COVID challenge. And we can do it, but we need to invest. And economists on both sides of the aisle have strongly suggested that now is the time to do it, with the interest rates with being what they are. And forces like that of Chairman Powell from the Federal Reserve, the president's appointee, I might highlight, have said, go bold, go big. And we've done that with the HEROES Act. And it's a failure to negotiate by this White House and the United States Senate early on. I mean, only negotiations began just weeks ago after months worth of delay and damage were allowed to happen.
This is a really dark time. I don't think anyone disputes that. Yesterday alone, 81,000 new cases, 1,000 new deaths. We've got, you know, predictions of violence. We have violence in the streets already. We've got, you know, racial strife. We've got families not talking to one another. We've got families not able to gather before Thanksgiving. It's a lot. Are you optimistic?
I'm optimistic because I believe that we have some of the best scientists, epidemiologists, doctors in this country that can advise us. We need merely to listen to them. And they have not been listened to. The results that you're citing could have been avoided if we embraced science. Science can get us through this. So I'm optimistic that with the sound leadership that we can place in the White House and in the Senate and in the House, we can get a good response mechanism going that will address all of these crises. And I see four crises here. I see certainly the public health crisis, which COVID represents, the corresponding economic crisis with the downturn in the economy. We have a climate crisis where the environment has been damaged by the thinking of this administration. And we have a racial social justice crisis that is perhaps older than the country, with the first ships arriving with enslaved people some 400 years ago. And now with the tragedies that have befallen our nation, with George Floyd and with Breonna Taylor, they brought a sense of awareness that has been deepened about systemic racism and the need to address it. And, you know, you can start with those situations in the law enforcement, criminal justice area, but also reach into areas of education and housing and economic development that will bring this discussion to the forefront. And it's long overdue. We have opportunities here with these crises. And that's what makes me optimistic, that we can come out of this with an economy that is more just, more competitive, more robust, more sustainable, that we can resolve this crisis and develop a vaccine as we've invested in through the HEROES Act, and begin our efforts for decarbonization, the climate response, and begin to bring about a strengthening of racial relations where we can begin to address the programs that will bring us to the ultimate fairness and justice factors that we so desperately are challenged to bring about.
When you're not running to represent the 20th Congressional District, and when you're not addressing these four crises, what do you enjoy doing?
what do I enjoy doing? You know, I guess you get into reading, you get into some outdoor activity, just getting fresh air, and sadly enough, even reviewing some political documents, but it's in your blood and you can't shut it. There is not much downtime in this job because it's your personality type that governs how you respond to this job. And I have to tell you, I see so many opportunities that it keeps me busy overtime and ever present in the district pre-COVID-19. I've had to do a lot of Zooming and social networking through social media, but routinely the job spreads itself into such dimensions that it's even part of the social activity of my life.
Well, I hope that you're able to get out into the fresh air, enjoy a cider donut maybe on the campaign.
Sounds awesome.
And I really appreciate you talking to me.
It's my pleasure. And thank you so much for your interest in this congressional district. It's a great district to represent, very interactive, but very visionary and very much appreciating science, I believe.